there. Good, beautiful day to you. This is Our Catholic Way, where most weeks I talk to a convert to the Catholic faith or a revert, as is the case today. I'm your host, Kim Tizer, and I am just pleased as punch that you're here. Actually, more pleased than punch because, you know, you can spill punch and ruin your clothes and carpet. I've done that. So, you know, punch isn't always that pleasing. I'm just saying. So you're really going to enjoy our guest's story today. It is a wonderful story of redemption. Think prodigal son here, or in this case, daughter. We're going to talk with Shalimar Masters, who I've known for a long time, and I am somewhat familiar with her story because I read it years ago online on her blog at what I think is lifevictorious.com. We'll find out for sure from her. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. But before we begin our chat with her, I want to share some fun news with you that I hope you will utilize. You'll get excited about this. This past week, I set up a phone number for the show so you can call with comments and questions and ideas. And I think it's going to make the show just so much more enjoyable when we hear others' voices. So I hope you'll call, and I will do my very best to fit your message into the show if at all possible. So let me go ahead and give you the number to dial, okay? It's 731-468-7929. That is 7314. Okay, the number 4, Our Way. Isn't that a great way to remember it? Kind of catchy. 7314, Our Way. And I'll try to include that phone number in the show notes so you can refer to that. You'll also find it on Facebook at Our Catholic Way. I added it to my Facebook cover so you can easily find it. And to get things going with this, so you'll call, if all goes as planned, I intend to have on the show next week Scott Reichert. I hope I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. He writes about all things Catholic for a number of publications. He's the man in the know, and he's going to talk to us about the church's approach to Halloween. Does the Catholic Church support our children going door to door for candy and Halloween costumes? Is it okay, so long as maybe you're dressed up like a saint? Does that make it better? Are we to avoid it? I don't know. You know, I have lots of questions for him. So we're going to talk about that as well as All Saints Day and All Souls Day. We're going to talk about as much as we can. We're going to squeeze a lot into the show. It's going to be a good one. But here's where you come in. Would you call with either how you and your family approach Halloween or with a question about it if you have one? Or here's another thought. If you're a convert and your thoughts on the subject have evolved over time, I want to hear your comments, okay? Is your brain kind of churning now with what you may ask or some thoughts you have? The number again to call is 731-4-OUR-WAY. And if you would, call before Wednesday, if at all possible, and that will help me with the planning of next week's show. But now it's time to move on with our interview. Now, I got to just tell everyone who is listening right now, if you're listening, that Shalimar and I have been chatting just before this show, and I am so thrilled to have Shalimar Masters right here on Our Catholic Way. Hello, Shalimar. Welcome.
Hello, Kim. I am equally or even more thrilled. Wonderful.
Shalimar and I were trying to remember just how long it's been. We actually go way, way back. And really, I think it started, Shalimar, with your husband, Corey, because he was in the mortgage business and we were closing on a house. And I think we met you through him, I believe is how that came about. I mean, that was like 17, 18 years ago. It was a long time ago. And then Shalimar and her husband, Corey, that, you know, they would advertise through a radio station that I worked for, and we would see each other at events and things like that. And she was the one Catholic that I knew that I knew was so faithful, a very faithful Catholic. And so I've always looked up to you for that, Shalimar. And so thank you.
Oh, wow.
You feel honored, don't you? And I told you earlier, before the show officially started, that I'm not real prepared. I don't have notes because I thought it would just be fun to visit with you because I know you're just fun like that. And so this is going to be exciting. How about, if you would, Shalimar, I know you are a cradle Catholic. At least I'm pretty sure I remember your story correctly.
That's correct.
What was that like for you as a kid? What was your family life like? And were you all considered devout Catholics?
Yes, you know, in fact, my my family was sort of unusually devout. My mother, especially at the time, was one of those. We prayed the rosary. I went to Catholic schools. My siblings went to Catholic schools. For us, it was just, we just figured that was normal. You know how when you're a kid, you figure, well, everyone else is like this too. And you kind of see us and them like, oh, those people, yeah, the public school thing. And I don't know, those people that don't believe in God. I couldn't really imagine it.
Yeah.
And so we went to Mass every Sunday, but not only every Sunday, my family, especially again, my mother, went to daily Mass during the summers when we were off of school. We would read about the apparitions of Mary at Fatima. I mean, extremely kind of off the charts, even from my Catholic friends.
Yeah.
As far as how I was brought up, very, very faithful. We would not have considered not going to Mass as children. That was just kind of, that really wasn't on the table. It was like, this is what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And then gradually my father became more of a leader in the church. He'd be like on the parish council. So we were sort of surrounded by Catholics. We'd have priests over for dinner, bishops over for dinner. I don't know if we had anyone non-clergy over for dinner, but everything was Catholic. My extended family, my grandmother, bless her heart, she's going to be 102 this year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Wonderful. Very close with her. I'm her first grandchild. And there really wasn't any messing around. She taught me about St. Therese, and pretty much I loved it. I loved it. The crown of my week was Sunday Mass because I'm an extrovert, and my family was rather quiet, so I couldn't wait to get into that big community we were all singing. And I was drawn to it. Even though I was supposed to do it because of my parents, I still loved it. It wasn't like the other kids, you know, and not all the other kids, but a good deal of them. Oh, you know, can't wait to graduate or can't wait to move out. And then I don't really want to do that anymore kind of thing. They were bored or whatever. I thought, how do you not find this exciting? I'm in choir, you know, I'm just amazing. You know,
this is the best.
I loved it as a child. Yes.
So it really, it sounds like it sank in to your soul. I mean, it wasn't just something you did. You weren't just checking the blocks. I mean, this meant something to you. And I ask that and say that because, you know, it seems like there's so many people that end up walking away from their faith. And I don't know how, because I'm thinking if you really got it, if you knew the Eucharist, you couldn't just walk away. It amazes me.
Isn't that true? I would have thought the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought, in fact, as most of my young years there, I thought, well, how could, you know, I could party and I could do crazy things, but I always thought, you know, in high school, I always thought, well, no, I never thought I could walk away from the Catholic Church. So this wasn't anything else for me. Like, and not that it was an option while I was living with my parents anyway, but I thought it was so full and rich, and my parents, it's so, and even to this day, it's so integral, like in every fiber of our being, that I would think, I remember they had introduced me to adoration. I was in youth groups, all of that sort of thing. I knew that host there was God, and I just could not, no matter how I would make mistakes sin-wise and the normal life of the teenager that drinks too much and is with boys a little too much, I would still always come back like, oh, no, I know this is God, and there's no way I can fall away. Of course, you know, as they say, pride goeth before the fall.
Yes, and we'll get to that part of your story. I'm curious, did you have any Protestant friends growing up? I mean, maybe not since everyone coming over was clergy and you went to a Catholic school, but did you have any Protestant friends that tried to convince you that what you believed was wrong?
No, and in fact, I didn't really come in contact with that. Well, let's say this. Until I had 2 years of public school, the rest were Catholic schools. So my 9th and 10th grade were at public schools. And that was my first encounter with, number one, inner city type things. And
okay.
Number two, this is in Tampa, Florida. And number two, the idea that there were, I understood secular, like worldly.
Uh-huh.
But the idea that there were Christians. And I started in my 10th grade year, my little group there that we had, a little artist group, there were Christians, and I was struck by how friendly they were. You know, like, oh, this isn't this whole you know, us and them as much. I wasn't like that as much. And mm-hmm. when I went back to Catholic school, I was really, even as a teenager, you know, 16, 17, I graduated when I was 17 from Catholic school, and I was sort of confused as to why the classmates, even if they were Catholic, and of course I'm talking to my generation, really weren't into the faith. We were all Catholic, but we all just did the same things as everyone else did. So I never forgot those few little Christians I met at the public school, and I thought, now that's interesting. So, but I still didn't think, well, let me look into that or anything like that. I felt like, well, I already knew, you know, my parents told me, so I already know, and I'm already confirmed and all that.
So you didn't look at them as having something that you didn't have.
Oh, no, no. And I was kind of taught, I was very, very catechized at home. And perhaps that's why I was confused why other people may have seen that they weren't. But I was kind of taught, well, we have the fullness of the truth. We have the fullness of the truth. That's sort of a mantra.
Most people don't know when you become Catholic, you have to get, we've got the fullness of the faith tattooed somewhere on your body. I mean, most people just, they're not even aware. Oh, I'm just kidding. Obviously, you just got to laugh sometimes. You know, laughter is good medicine. Well, we'll come back with Shalimar Masters and find out what pulled this young, faithful Catholic away from her faith and what got her back on track. Thank you for listening to Our Catholic Way on Breadbox Media. Thank you for listening to Our Catholic Way on Breadbox Media. We're back. I'm Kim Tizer, your friendly, albeit goofy host. Before we open up the mic for our guest, Shalimar Masters, who's sharing her reversion story, I just want to thank Rachel Sherlock, listening in Dublin City, Ireland, for tweeting earlier this month. So happy to have you back. Thank you for your witness. Your voice is honestly the warmest, coziest sound ever. I missed it. Ah, that was just the kindest. Thank you, Rachel, for listening and for taking the time to write. And it is good to be back. Now, Shalimar, affectionately known as, I meant to mention this earlier, Shally Mama among her friends and family. Blogs.
I might as well.
It blogs at, is it Victorious Life? I have been there many times. I can't think of the name of it right now. What's the name of your blog?
Oh, it's Life Victorious.
LifeVictorious.com,
yes.
Life Victorious. And that is where I first read your story of, do you call it reversion? I'm not sure if it's a reversion, reconversion, many, many moons ago.
That's what I called it.
Well, I just want to make sure I give it the right title, but that's not as important as really what happened to you. And I do remember a highlight, but I don't want to share it because you may, of what happened. So, you know, how is it? Because there did come a point where you kind of fell away from your faith.
Yeah.
So do you mind sharing what happened there? How was it that someone that was so steeped in the Catholic tradition and loved it? I mean, you say you loved it. How did that happen?
You know, what happened was, I would say my falling away in faith, and not only mine, but a lot of people that I've known that went through this experience, came down to a brokenness in relationships. It was not doctrinal for me at that time. It was my family started getting more tumultuous. We had moved to England when I was 18, and my dad is retired Air Force. Really proud of him. But at the time, it was a very dark time for my family. You know, I was 18, my brother was 17. You know, you had three teenagers. They got hormones through the roof and who knows what. And over time, there had been a need for healing in my family, but it was just a lot of, I would say, conflict and confusion, and we're in a different country, and I wasn't sure what I was doing, and all of the things that sort of added up over the years that had to do with brokenness that hadn't been resolved kind of came to a climax. My dad actually had a heart attack, and he was, now I'm thinking of, at the time I thought he was old, but of course he was at a young age of 45.
Oh, wow, that is young.
I know. Now I'm thinking, at the time I thought that was something. Well, that boy, he was a spring chicken. So that's an early time to have that. And so you mix in health problems, you mix in so many dynamics, some of us trying to figure out what on earth we were doing with our life in a different country. So that, you know, my dad was still active duty. So what ended up happening was I was a nurse assistant, and I had at that when we first moved there, I literally got the most devotional I had ever been in my life. I literally went to, oh my goodness, the mass there was unreal, just beautiful. This is near Oxford. And the priest there would do the liturgy of the hours, I mean, chanting. It was like nothing I heard in America. It was like so beautiful. Mm-hmm. If you would play the pipe organ and chant, we went to daily mass.
Wow.
It was sort of through the roof. And I got the most prayerful as ever. And I was working in a nursing home. But the brokenness combined with my loneliness, because I would come back home to myself. There I was, an American, different country. And I happened to meet an atheist at my place of work.
Mm-hmm.
And that atheist happened to have, that person happened to have every single possible quality. I don't know how this worked out, because I had dated the heck of a lot in my life, even as a young teenager, that was so attractive. I just was like, now this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I sort of, you know, kind of the normal dating thing. I was still Catholic, still doing my thing, and he was doing his thing, and his family didn't believe in God. And atheism in England is quite different than a lot of the atheism in America. It's kind of real there. Like, it's sort of the hub of it. And unfortunately, the great thinkers. Mm-hmm. But when they're atheists over there, they're not agnostic. Like, well, I kind of don't know if there's a God, or I don't know, and I'm just going to live the way I want. They really, truly embrace atheism. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of them, a lot of scientists and all of that. And this person was in med school. So with the brokenness in my family, I it was more and more conflict, and like I said, just sort of a dark time. And there was this one point where it just got to this point where my family didn't know what to do with me. And of course, I should qualify all of this in defense of my family. I'm a very strong-willed person, so I was rather difficult to raise. But I was a thinker, though, and I would ask way too many questions and all of that. At the time when I felt like I needed my family the most, and I'm saying this from my point of view,
mm-hmm.
interestingly, my boyfriend at the time and his family seemed to be there with open arms. And so I started slowly moving in their direction, and eventually they took me in. And that relationship was so powerful in my life that my family... Actually, my lifestyle was no longer compatible with how they would say, this is how you behave under our roof. And I finally said, you know what? I don't care anymore. I can't follow these strict rules anymore. I can't play this, you know, do this whole thing anymore, because this family seems to be way more loving. They're letting me do what I want.
Hmm.
And gradually, this kind of slow... I say slow, but it really happened rather fast looking back.
Mm-hmm.
In a matter of months, this person, and this is nothing against him either, but he had all that combination of what is right with the world. And I looked at my family, saw the contrast. My family's fighting, we're still going to mass, we're angry the whole time there, rolling our eyes all through the mass, not wanting to. It's like, ugh, these people I live with, you know? And then I'm going over to this other place, and they're friendly. They were passing a joint around the table after dinner. They were friendly. They were generous. They took me on lavish vacations. I forgot to mention they were very wealthy and my family wasn't. And I thought, well, hey, what on earth am I doing? And the combination of being seen as important and in my self-centered, selfish time of my life. I was nothing. I felt like nothing, sort of like, nah, you know, you're just one of us. You're part of the family, you know, Italian family. You're one of the family, you know. But this family was like, oh, you're from America and you're exotic and blah, blah, blah. And I just fell for all this. And in the beginning, it was amazing. And I likened this in my conversion story, which I don't know if it's live on my blog or not. I could put it back on there.
Mm-hmm.
But was, it reminds me of when Satan takes Jesus to the top of the temple and just says, all these things I will give you. That's what I could hear in my head. I was given everything. I mean, everything. I had my way paved. I still kept working as a nurse assistant, but then I was accepted at Oxford to become a nurse midwife. I mean, my life was just laid out before me in this amazing, everything I never had in my poverty, everything I didn't have. My family, while they were very holy, were not socialites. They were, you know, if you're going to be really devout, sometimes you're just really not going to be kind of accepted in the world. And I was so tired of being a freak. It was like, hey, I'm popular now. Let's check this out. Mm-hmm. And I was. And that was just so alluring.
Were you talking marriage at all? I mean, was it getting that serious? You were with this man?
Yes,
you
and I actually lived with him for 2 years. And I was. And he didn't believe in marriage because, you know, how, I don't know if anyone's ever heard this little cliche. Oh, that silly piece of paper. Why do I need a piece of paper to prove that I love you?
That's right. We could just live together forever.
Yeah, right? Yeah, why do I need to sign that silly piece of paper? Well, if it's so silly, why is it so hard to sign, right?
Exactly.
That's right. That's a great question. And that's where, basically, I still knew. From the age of 3 and a half, I knew I wanted to be a mother. I knew I wanted to be married and wanted to be a mother. But over time, it all started to decay. And while it starts off looking like this beautiful, whoa, palace, whatever, it wasn't a palace, but you know what I'm saying, figuratively,
right.
Felt like the princess, it starts to decay. And the world got darker and darker and darker into some serious depths of addiction and, oh, yes, just basically slavery is what I would say. And I'm not saying that word lightly. I really felt like I was in chains, but I could not escape. And it got to where if I even walked by a Catholic church and I still kept kind of trying to go to mass. I was trying to hang on to it, but I felt like how you'd feel when you get an electric shock. If I saw a tabernacle, like, okay, get out. All right, fine. I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. It was incompatible. And it was like, even though I embraced the boyfriend and the family and all of that, that lifestyle, something, it was almost like God was rejecting my lifestyle. I still felt him, but I felt like a look of disapproval. And I didn't care about the look of disapproval from my parents at that point in my life. I really didn't. I was like, yeah, whatever. No, I was just like, yeah, but I felt that kind of a zap. And you're talking about Notre Dame. I mean, going to these great cathedrals. I traveled Europe. Anytime I went to places that are just stunning, beautiful places of the Catholic faith. And it's a whole area that I hadn't seen in America. I mean, the history of the Catholic Church overseas. Anytime I still felt, I felt convicted, so I'd just get back out. And it's like, okay, I just need to get drunk again. I need to get high again. I need to get back into this other life. And, of course, then, you know, it just got darker and darker and darker. And I found myself knowing, how far do I want to go with this?
Shalimar, I'm going to have you pause right there. And maybe you who are listening, you're right where she was. You have dug yourself into a pit. How do you get out? There is hope. And I know that's part of Shalimar's story. We'll have more of it when we come back here on Breadbox Media. This is Our Catholic Way. Thank you for staying with us. This is Our Catholic Way on Breadbox Media. We're visiting with Shalimar Master. She's sharing her reversion story. And where we left off, Shalimar, you were just talking about how when you were in your darkest place, you couldn't even go to church or walk by one without feeling like you were being zapped by God, you said. It made me think of this Bible verse. I had to look up exactly where it was. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline or lose heart when he rebukes you, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises everyone he receives as a son." So it was out of his love for you that you were feeling those zaps and zings because he wanted you to turn back, which
yes, he did.
I know you did, but or you wouldn't be here. But I'm sorry, I just had to chime in there.
Yes, thank you for that. And you just reminded me of the title of the story. It's called Relentless Pursuit. Because he started pursuing me. And actually, I shouldn't say started. He never stopped pursuing me. He let me go to some very dark places. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of details there, and there actually is, within the next several months, or perhaps within the next year, there is actually, I'm going to be writing much more in depth in a publication that will be coming out.
Oh, wow.
It's all very new, yes. So, you know, I'll have to keep everyone posted on lifevictorious.com, but it's going to be a really exciting book. It's not just going to have my story, it's going to have other people's stories as well. That will go into more depth of what exactly that darkness entailed and how alluring and how it managed to snare me when I was one that was going around evangelizing people when I was a teenager. When I was 16, I was evangelizing people. And it literally was that powerful. Just literally, like, it was designed for everything Shao would ever desire was in this package. But as it got darker, I saw how the slope was getting steeper and steeper, the slide, like, uh-oh, I can't stop. And I knew the way, you know, further into addictions, then, you know, why stop with one person? Just a very dark world, starting to border on Satanism. I mean, just getting into all sorts of areas that I started to beg the Lord. I still, even though I was living as an atheist with all atheist friends, I still had this one crucifix in my room. So I had it in there, but I sort of didn't look at him, but he was still there. Mm-hmm. And I have that in this room right now as I'm talking to you, the same one that I got when I was 18 before we moved to England. And I had taped a little note in the back of this crucifix when I realized I can't stop. The words of an addict. And I taped a little note and I said, and I wish I had saved it, but it said, please save me. Please save me. But I still left. I still kept going with my lifestyle. And one night, I don't know, is that right? Awoken at midnight.
I know, I get that confused. Awakened, I don't know. I woke up. Awakened? No, that is totally wrong.
Right, that's the wrong way. Wake up. But I was startled awake.
Yeah, there you go.
In the middle of the night, in the midst of everything, literally, I bolted up in my bed. And let me qualify this by saying, I am not one of those frou-frou floaty people who believe in, I have not seen any apparitions. I'm not that type of person. I'm very earthy. So I would have been Thomas, St. Thomas. I would have been like, yeah, right. You know what? I need some proof here. Very, very skeptical. But I woke in the middle of the night, bolted up in my bed, and I literally heard in my head, if you die right now, you'll go to hell. Mm. And I just melted. I started sobbing in my room like an idiot. And I save me. And within, I didn't know how he was going to do it, but I started to hear a message and it started growing. It was kind of faint at first, but then it started getting more and more frantic. And it was go, 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 leave, move, 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 go back to America. Just go. Mm-hmm. And it was so, I could not shut the voice out of my head. Just go. Just put the Atlantic Ocean between. Just cut the entire thing off. And so I applied to be a missionary at full-time volunteer group called Catholic Volunteers of Florida. But they only accepted people with college degrees, with a bachelor's degree. And I did not have a bachelor's degree. And they had these strict things. And I had a phone interview, but it just was like, well, you need to come to Florida from England. Come to Florida for an interview. Well, what I did is this voice started getting louder and louder and louder. Within, I want to say, 3 months, I was on a plane trying to explain to a boyfriend who did not understand because this was it. And he was devastated and he couldn't understand because I said, it's God. God is calling me. He's like, who are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't explain. Once you say God is calling me and he knew. I'm not froofy. You know, I'm not like, God is calling me. You know, some people speak that. Some people maybe do have the Lord talk to them every day. I'm kind of like, I'm not hearing anything. You know what? Uh-huh. I'm real skeptical. I'm not quick to say that. But I just said, I can't explain. explain it, but he's calling me. This has to stop. The whole thing has to stop. I'm going.
It just interests me that you would seek out being a missionary, because you're not going to Mass at this point, right? I mean, you're still feeling God's discipline so what were you just thinking? This was one way of kind of saving you from what you were in, if you just like did a 180 and became a missionary?
Well, I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know where to go. I had none of my own money. So if I wanted to still have money, I needed to remain with the atheists. My family, I needed to resolve with them. In the last 3 weeks that I was in England, I moved back in with my family. We reconciled. I went to confession.
Okay.
And then I left.
Okay.
Yeah, but I had to get out of my area I was in, because it was too powerful for me. It's sort of like, if you know you need to give up alcohol, you just don't walk into a bar. And for me, the whole entire package was too tempting. I just couldn't. I was too far into it. The only solution was to literally move. And the only way I could think, I had a little bit of family in Florida at the time. I'm originally from Florida. And I just didn't know where to go and what to do. And so that's why I thought of Florida. I literally had $50 in my pocket. So I thought, well, I could at least be a missionary, because you're supposed to be poor. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't get a house. I was only 21 years old, coming back from England after 3 years. Just no idea. Like, literally lost. Like, I would have been, had I gone there and not gotten that position, I actually would have been homeless. So it was at the risk of my life, but it was so much peace and yet the most difficult thing. And I felt his beckoning was like, it was so strong, it was unmistakable. And I can tell you, no amount of someone saying, oh, just go back to Mass, go back. I did that. I would go kind of off and on here and there once in a while, but it wasn't until God stepped in and said, all right, enough. I'm not kidding. And anyone who knew me and who even knows me today, I just am not one to believe the stars aligned. And I'm kind of one that needs proof, unless when he steps in and it's unmistakable. In other words, you can't shut it off. I could not shut off the voice. All right.
I hear you.
Yes, it was like I don't know if you want me to go into that. When I got back to Florida, because my full conversion took place once I moved back, the first site, I was supposed to visit five sites to volunteer at, like homeless shelters, different places to serve the poor around Florida, Miami, Florida, Tampa Bay, all different places. And the first place I visited was Jacksonville. And the place was called Larch Harbor House. And it's basically a Catholic-based group home. It's a worldwide organization for adults that are mentally and physically disabled. Mm-hmm. And I went in, and this is an important part of my testimony, because it still brings tears to my eyes. There I am. I just had the withdrawal of my life from pretty much all the addictions you can think about. left everything, left my family, left my boyfriend, left my life, left Oxford, the degree thing, or the school, left everything with nothing. And at the door, a little gentleman by the name of Scotty, who had Down syndrome, just met me at the door. And he hugged me. And I melted into his arms, and I started sobbing on his shoulder. And then I looked at the people that were with my agency, and I said, this is it. I'm home. And I went there, and I lived there for a year and a half. A month later, I actually met Corey, who was a volunteer. He was in the Navy at the time, and he would volunteer and come there maybe once a month. A month later, I met my future husband, and 3 months later we were engaged.
Oh,
but
wow.
Those people and their purity was what, I mean, I felt so dirty, such a traitor. And it wasn't this big, you know, a bishop and a pope and this whole big thing with incense. It was a little man who had a great mission. at L'Arche. L'Arche Harbor House is the name of it in Jacksonville, Florida, and the L'Arches are around the world. This was his hug. I was healed. And I mean, it's like, when they ask, when people ask, oh, what's people's purpose? What do they have? Quality of life? Do they have a mission? What's their IQ? I say that man was instrumental in me coming back because there is no judgment. There was no judgment. It was like, come on in. And I was home. And from then on, I never looked back. That was that.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I'm a little misty-eyed right now. We're going to wrap up Shalimar's story when we come back and have some closing thoughts. Thank you for listening. Our Catholic Way on Breadbox Media. Well, if you're just checking in, you're listening to Our Catholic Way on Breadbox Media. I'm your host, Kim Tizer, and we've just heard most of Shalimar Master's reversion story. It is so compelling and beautiful. And if you missed it, please go back and listen to this show. Look for the archives. You know, Shalimar, I meant to ask you, how long have you and your husband, Corey, been married?
We have been married for over, 18 years. How many months? Let me think. We're 5 minutes and no, I'm just kidding. We've been married a little over 18 years. So that was in 1998 when we got married. 1997 is when I had my full conversion. So that would be January 14th. I actually remember that date when I moved back to America and was accepted. And I would invite anybody. What's so beautiful about these people in nursing homes. I love these people. People in group homes. Their purity, and I'm not trying to pretend that their lives are easy. It's very difficult to live in a community like that, and I lived in the community. It's very difficult. Heavy crosses that we all bear and that they bear.
Mm-hmm.
However, the beauty and the simplicity is something organic. And that's what I needed. I didn't need to be hit on the head by a 2x4 to say, hey, you just violated these three, you know, the entire catechism. What is wrong with you? Look at, it reminds me of a statute or something. You know, I knew the catechism. I knew all of that stuff. And sure, I knew it. But I needed that unconditional love. And my family were first. They took me back in those 3 last weeks that I was in England unconditionally. Mainly because they knew I was ready to turn from my sin, took me back in, helped me to move back to Florida. And then outside of, you know, seeing my age, you know, a young adult, then I was accepted by the family at L'Arche with no, you know, what did you do? What? You know, no judgment. Mm-hmm. Just come on in. And that is the mercy of our Lord. That is the mercy of our Lord. And, you know, I just even heard this gospel about rejoicing over the one sheep who has returned.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for the rest of my life after that, I approached the altar a lot differently than I did before I fell. Is I'm not worthy to be here. I'm not worthy. I used to think, oh, I do chastity rallies. Oh, yeah, I gave speeches. I started pro-life groups that had never been started before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did all this stuff on some sort of resume. I had scholarships for my speeches, whatever. And I was like, oh, yes, hello, Lord, it's me. Yes.
You recognize me, yes.
Yes, you know me. I'm outside of Planned Parenthood. Of course I am. And nobody else is when they're 17. You know, and I've helped all these youth to not give up their virginity and blah, blah, blah. And oh, yes, I'm also going to daily mass and adoration. I'm not saying that I felt that I was proud. But I'll tell you what, I waltzed on into cathedrals like, of course I should be there. And now I just literally in my head, all these years later, I still picture myself on my face. I really do. Like, why? I mean, really, Lord, you really have a sense of humor. And He has such an amazing sense of humor. And I see that little twinkle in my head, a little twinkle in His eye, like, come on, Shal, give me a break. You know what's the truth. Come on.
Yeah.
The mercy He has shown, and I'm not saying now He's showing us a different type of discipline now than was shown before because it keeps going through different levels of how He reveals Himself. But I still I still think of him how I think back when I was 21, on flat on my face. What am I doing? Well, I don't, why am I darkening the doorway of a church? And it's like, if I can, I guarantee you, anyone can.
This has been so great, Shalimar. I hate it that we are running out of time. I want to mention the Lord has blessed you, though, with many beautiful children. Do you care to share the number? Because I'll probably mess it up.
I am blessed with 10 children this side of heaven and 2 on the other side. So he has blessed me so abundantly. And a little bit of humor with that is that Corey and I actually started off with infertility. So another, he's just got such a great sense of humor. Who knew? I thought I couldn't have children. We thought we couldn't, it was me. We thought we couldn't have children. And here we are. We just had our 10th last November. He's not a year yet. And that's my life's dream. In fact, Corey and I had joked around when we were just friends. And my kids joke about that. You used to be friends. Yeah, we used to be friends, actually. But remember that? We talked about, wouldn't that be fun to have 10 kids? And I'd never heard another guy of all the guys I'd gone out with. No one ever wanted children. And I thought, hey, that's kind of cool. That guy kind of got my interest. Like, cool. Because I love children. I love children. So I just, yes, we have 10, we are blessed with 10 children. And that is my, no matter what I do on this earth, that is the crown. That's the greatest thing. There's no business that I could build. There's nothing I can do that can top being a vessel where God grew those babies, I'm telling you.
I love it. And you and I have a couple of things in common. First off, my husband, Randy, and I, we are going to celebrate our 18th anniversary on Monday. And
oh my God, happy anniversary.
Thank you. And we also started out with infertility. We're told we would never have children. Now we ended up with just 3, but that's because God just knew he was working with someone that has no patience whatsoever. I'm speaking of myself. So.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
Well, Shalimar, this has been great. And if people want to find you, what is the best way? Should they go to your blog, lifevictorious.com?
Yes, that's a great way to find me. You know what? My email's on there. I'm also on Facebook.
Yes.
For better or for worse, I'm on Facebook. And yes, I love keeping in touch with people. And I just love that in the Catholic Church, you know what? Really, truly, all are welcome. Nobody has gone too far. And I know that's one way a lot of people are kept out of church thinking, oh, gee, well, that person, they've got a rosary and they're so holy. And I just have to say, you know what? If God took me back, guaranteed, he can take anyone back. Or anyone for the first time. That's right. You know what? It's that pearl of great price. And it's almost something you can't put in words, but you'll know it when you find it.
Shalimar,
I'm just thrilled that you're here, Kim. I really am. I'm just thrilled.
Same here. I'm so glad we got to visit. And I'm glad I didn't start with any questions written down. You have such a powerful message. You convey it so well. You articulate it so well. And I'm thankful you're willing to share it, Shalimar. And I'm looking forward to that book that's going to come out. I hope you'll come back on the show when that's out, when it's about to release.
Yes.
To share more. Would that be okay?
Oh, I would be honored. I'd be honored. I'd love to hear your story maybe that's already published. I would love to hear that.
One of these days, I'll interview myself.
One of these days, we would like it. And your series of books. We're going to need that too because, oh my goodness.
I don't think I could write. Oh, I have a hard time blogging. It's so sad.
Your podcast.
But in you, of course, in even with 10 kids, you're able to make goat soap. I don't know if you still do that. You did in Colorado, make soaps and have a farm. And it just, Shalimar is an amazing person. So I do encourage you to go to her blog. Once again, it's lifevictorious.com. You will be blessed just like you were blessed today. Thank you, Shalimar, for being on Our Catholic Way.
Thank you, Kim. God bless you.
God bless you, too. I don't know about you, but the time passed so quickly. Another interview gone by. I sure enjoyed that, and I hope you did as well. And I encourage you to check out Shalimar's blog. It is lifevictorious.com. And let's see, as we wrap up here, what do I want to share? I guess a reminder that we do have this new phone line in place. It is 731-468-7929. Another way to remember that, 731 The number 4, Our Way, 731-4-OUR-WAY. And this is set up for you, so you can call with comments, questions, thoughts that you're having. Just let me know how you're doing. And please call for our next show, because we are going to have, sorry, my notes are just all over. We are going to have Scott Reichert on to talk about Halloween. He is an expert on all things Catholic, and he's going to share with us kind of what the official approach should be to Halloween. If you are Catholic, is this something that we should feel comfortable about involving our kids in? Is it okay? Is it not? We'll find out. We'll talk more about All Saints Day and All Souls Day. You know, I really do just love all that goes on during the month of October, and I love fall. Happy fall, by the way. It's finally here. Also coming up in the coming weeks, we'll have Father Charles Merrill. I don't think I've ever had a priest on the show. He was a Southern Baptist that became Catholic and then later became a priest. He has a fascinating story and a connection to Columbus Day as well. You'll have to tune in to find out what that is. And then I also know we have lined up Sharon Babineau, also a former Southern Baptist. Now, I don't pick on Southern Baptists, just so you know. I don't do it because I was one. It just, you know, those are the people I tend to run into. But I'm open to all former backgrounds, men and women. Someone asked me if I only spoke to women. No, just whoever's willing to sit in the hot seat. It's really not that hot. So anyway, she will come up in a few weeks, Sharon Babineau. So again, thank you for listening. Check out Facebook, Our Catholic Way. You'll find some information there. And please check out the other shows on Breadbox Media. I think you can find my archived shows via Breadbox Media. I don't know. I'm still the new kid on the block. I feel like the new kid in class. I'm still trying to figure out how things work because I'm the latest host to appear on Breadbox Media. But go there. There are some other wonderful hosts there with great shows that you'll find really informative and entertaining. So again, go to breadboxmedia.com. I'm on Twitter sometimes. I blog at Our Catholic Way sometimes. You just never know where I'll be sometimes. You, until I'm back, hopefully next week, I should be back. You have a blessed week. May God bless you richly, you and your family, and give you peace. Bye-bye. Thank you.